May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So the Passover is approaching, and Jesus and his disciples are coming close, are in the neighborhood of Jerusalem. There are people coming from all over the world for the Passover festival, because the Passover festival was the one celebration, if you were Jewish, you wanted to celebrate in Jerusalem. And even if you are not all the way committed, a God-fearer, but not willing to go all the way to circumcision, Passover was the day you wanted to come. And so this is the setting for Jesus and his disciples outside of Jerusalem. And these Greeks, these people who are not Jews, come to this little gathering, this crowd around Jesus, and say, "We've heard about this Jesus guy. We want to see him for ourselves." Philip and Andrew were probably really excited, because what this says is that the message is spreading. The movement is taking hold. People have been hearing about Jesus and what Jesus is doing all over the place, and they're coming from far and near to come and see Jesus, to hear him preach, to see him perform his works of power. And what does Jesus do? He once again predicts his death. Can't you just see Peter off one side face-palming? This is one of the reasons why we have such a hard time crafting a really good marketing plan in the church. Because what we never can quite escape from is that no matter how good our music or terrific our free coffee, in the end, the central reality of our life as Christians is the death of Jesus Christ. And that makes a lousy bumper sticker. John's Gospel doesn't tell us how the Greeks who came to see Jesus, who no doubt came to see Jesus because they had heard that he was healing the sick and casting out demons, that he had an answer for every question. They came to see the powerful Messiah that they'd heard about. John's Gospel doesn't tell us how they responded to Jesus turning around and teaching about the hour of his death. But it's probably safe to assume that they went away a little bit disappointed. Because if we come to faith, we come looking for Jesus who will heal all our infirmities, and we get the Jesus who dies, that's not what we were looking for. A lot of times when we're seeking faith, when we're exploring, what we're looking for is individual affirmation, a sense of spiritual fulfillment. The truth is, we also want to be healed of all our infirmities. We want God to come and fix all the things that are wrong with us and the world. That's what we are seeking in faith. We really want that. We long for that. And we come in, and I'm going to tell you about the death of Jesus. It's a bit of a letdown. And I expect it was to the Greeks who came, and to the disciples who would follow Jesus all the way to the cross. Because what we really want is Almighty God, who fixes our problems, who fixes the brokenness of the world, who solves all the things that we seem to be unable to solve for ourselves. But God has never, in all the years we've been telling stories about him, worked that way. Instead of simply coming in and fixing us and fixing our troubles, God enters into human history and works with us and through us. He works with younger sons and barren never seem to get it. He makes covenants with people who keep messing it up over and over and over again, and he keeps making new covenants with Abraham. And in Christ's arrival and appearance, he does the same thing. Jesus comes and he shows us what a life lived in true and deep with relationship with God could be like. He feeds the hungry. He heals the sick. He welcomes people that no one welcomes. He shows what a life lived in close and deep relationship with God is capable of doing and being. And then he dies. And this isn't an accidental thing. This isn't something that events just got out of hand and God just said, I don't know what to do with them, whatever. This death is what the whole thing was working towards. Jesus dies. And he dies in order to enable that same relationship that Jesus had with God to be the relationship we have with God. Not just Jesus and a couple of disciples, but everyone in the whole world. Jesus' death is about removing all the barriers that stand between us and a relationship with God, like the relationship Jesus had with God. In Christ's death, his offering of his own life, he washes away our sins. He takes away all of the sin that has been standing between us and God, or that we think has been standing between us and God. Our certainty that what we have done is not worthy of forgiveness, and so we cannot come close to God. He takes that and takes that right away. Removes that excuse for avoiding relationship with God. In his resurrection, he takes away the fear that keeps us from entering into relationship with God. Because if God's power is stronger than death, what do we have to fear? And in his ascension, he removes the distance that we think is there between us and God, showing us that we are not that far away after all. Christ's death is the central reality of our faith. Because in Jesus' death, in his willingness to die, he shows us that the relationship with God that he had shown us in his life is now also available and possible for us. We are now invited into the kind of relationship with God that will lead us into new places and new joys and new fulfillments and new fruitfulness than we had ever imagined possible. It makes an absolutely lousy bumper sticker. But if we accept the invitation to that relationship, it will change us and change the whole world. Amen.